Okay, good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 7:04. Can we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. DiGiovanni.
Here.
Mr. Denise.
Here.
Mr. Harris.
Here.
Mr. Miskiewicz.
Here.
Mr. Kupchanski.
Here.
Mr. Sadler.
Here.
Mr. Sanchez.
Here.
Mr. Blisman.
Here.
Mr. Seupel.
Here.
Full house.
Thank you. Number four, additions, deletions, corrections to the agenda. Anybody have any? Raymond?
Yes. We'll discuss last month about the downtown design.
Okay. Okay, let's add that under 11, informal discussion. We'll add it as 11B. And we'll just add it as downtown design discussion. Okay. Is that in the form of a motion? Right?
Yeah, I'll put that in the form of a motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second it. Bill Harris.
Bill, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, the ayes have it.
Just for clarity of the motion, that's to add that and accept the agenda as amended?
Yes. Yep, add 11B.
Right.
Okay, motion carries. Number five, communications. Does anyone have any? Okay, so we received an email, and I'm going to read it to you. It's basically just a letter reaching out to us. It's from, what's that, Degenerate CT? Is that how you say it?
Desegregate
CT? It says, hello, my name is Vala Pendella, Pendyala. I'm the organizer of Desegregate CT, a nonpartisan pro-home coalition of 80 nonprofits and neighborhood groups that promotes land use reforms to improve our economy and sustain our environment. I am following up on my request for our team to discuss the legislative proposal Work, Live, Ride with the Planning and Zoning Commission. The proposal passed the House with bipartisan support last session and will be returning in the 2025 Connecticut General Assembly session with a strong likelihood of becoming law. Work, Live, Ride is an opt-in bill that helps local commissions create special transit-oriented community districts around their bus or rail stations by prioritizing state funding for infrastructure and technical assistance through the Office of Responsible Growth. We would appreciate having the opportunity to discuss Work, Live, Ride and answer any questions at one of the Planning and Zoning Commission meetings in early 2025. Please feel free to respond with any questions you may have. I look forward to hearing from you soon. The best, Vala Pendella. So with that, I wanted to reach out because I know that we were discussing this. Well, you know, informally the last few months about reaching out to our representatives, finding out what's in session, what's going to be coming up, and then this had popped up. So I wanted to bring it to the commission's attention and see what the pleasure was of the board to contact them and schedule for them to come to a meeting. Over the next month or two and see what they have to offer. But I wanted to bring it to everyone's attention before we just scheduled something. What is, David, what's the pleasure?
I just want to point out that.
Microphone, Dave.
Oh. A few years back, we already created a transit residential zone, and that's called our Center Design Development District and Center Residence Zone. That was the impetus for creating the 106 unit dwelling unit on the former LifeTouch site. It was also the impetus for the 90 something unit development on Minerva Street and Caroline Street. So we already have transit oriented residential zone in Derby. Okay. So maybe, you know, the person that contacted you didn't realize that, didn't know that.
It could be. I mean, yeah. Also, it says there about, you know, some grants and whatnot. Go ahead, Dan.
Maybe it would be great to talk to them since we already have that and be like, hey, we did that already. Yep. What grants?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, this is Vince, if I can interject.
Vince.
Go ahead, Vince. There are a couple of programs that are ongoing, and I don't know how this one fits into the bigger picture. There is a new office in the DECD, and forgive me if I don't catch the name correctly, but it is designed to work with certain communities related to implementation, not only the planning, as David has suggested, but the implementation of some of the infrastructure improvements. And I believe, I've been told, and I haven't seen it, that someone from the city has initiated contact with DECD, and the person involved is David Corris, who's the head of this program, and has identified Derby's interest in pursuing this. So it was, and this followed on to the conversation that Ray Sadlick had at the last meeting. And so it was intriguing that this letter from this woman, I presume a woman, and this other program, and the work that you've already done seem to be coming together. So I think the discussion is a worthwhile effort, but I think, I don't know if it was the mayor's office or someone else who contacted DECD and said Derby was interested. If you remember, there was also a letter, I think at the last meeting, from NVCOG offering technical assistance. So there seemed to be several programs coming together, and they may be the same. I don't know that. But at least I think a contact with the mayor's office would be appropriate to see if they're the ones who said, oh yeah, we're interested in pursuing this. So overall, I think there's some, not only planning money, which you've already done a lot of work on already, may need to be refined, but I also believe this leads to some infrastructure money to make it happen. And I know in part of the development that was contemplated that Dave mentioned a few minutes ago, there are infrastructure improvements that are required in order to make that happen. So that's the bigger context of what I think you're hearing here tonight. Now, there is another bill pending, and I don't know its status other than what I heard at a planning roundtable about a couple of weeks ago, which seems to imply that there is a commitment by the state to come up with infrastructure money to make this type of housing doable in downtown Derby would be an example.
Vince and everybody else, I just Googled this work, live, ride, and found their site. And one of the things right on the page, they have a little Venn diagram that one thing that the middle agency does is oversee a new fund to expand water and sewer capacity for towns that and cities that opt in.
That's right. That's one of the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, am I hearing? Let's contact them and.
I mean, maybe the mayor's office first and see who reached out in the first place.
Okay.
Just so you know, our firm is one of the groups of consultants that have been identified to work on this program by providing assistance to communities. There are a number of firms with different aspects, and our one of them is planning and so on, just so you know. So I am not the lead in our office on this at all, but I am familiar with it.
Okay.
Let me
go ahead, David.
Would you be able to give us a list of the pros and cons of participating in a program such as this? From the aspect of a municipality that is looking to develop substantial amount of vacant downtown land.
Yeah, I will be happy. The person in our office who's the lead on this is Nina Peek, a planner, and she operates, she operates remotely, but she's associated with our New Haven office in particular. I will talk to her and try to get better information as to how all of these pieces begin to fit together. I'll be happy to do that.
Any other comments or questions or concerns on that? So we'll reach out to, go ahead, Vint.
No, this is Dominic Thomas. I just wanted to let you know, David Corus's group is called the Municipal Redevelopment Corporation. And it's under Department of Housing or DECD, and it's a separate sort of quasi-governmental entity, but just what Vince was talking about, run by David Corus.
Thanks, Dominic. I just couldn't remember the name.
There you go. See, great teamwork. Any other comments or concerns from the commission? So we'll reach out to the administration to see if they got in touch with it or if it was Roger. We'll find out the particulars, and then we will set something up for them to come and give us a discussion and some information on this.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Raymond.
Could we all get a copy of that letter that you had read off?
Oh, yeah. Yep, I'll email them out to everybody. Okay. Any other communications? Okay. If there's no other communications, I have one form of communication. At last Thursday's Board of Aldermen meeting, Raymond Sadlick and Dave Kajansky were reappointed to the commission by the mayor's office and the administration for a term of, 5 years, I think you guys are? For the next 5 years. And as of right now, Raul's appointment is actually up. There's no replacement right now, but if there should be a replacement between now and next month, I just want to recognize Raul for the 17 years of service.
Wow.
And the time and the commitment that all of us know that it takes to gather this information, go through it, be current, to be update, and that is a significant impact on not just your family, but your life, a lot of volunteer hours, and it's not all, roses and butterflies, as we've seen over the last few months. So I'd like to recognize Raul for his commitment for the last 17 years, and depending on what happens, wish him luck in his next endeavors, and just say thank you from the board. I appreciate all your help, Raul. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And just so everyone knows, at the beginning of the year, Raul is our vice chair of the commission, and he did stand in for our last chairman, Teddy, when he was a little under the weather. So I just want to recognize you for that as well, Raul. Thank you. Okay. Number six, public portion. Mark, do we have anyone online that wishes to speak in the public portion? Do we have, is there anybody in the audience there, Mark? Okay. If anyone on Zoom wishes to speak in the public portion, please just unmute your mic and the floor will be all yours. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak? Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak? We don't have anyone in the public here at City Hall. I'm gonna ask that anyone on Zoom, if you wish to speak, please unmute your mic and you could speak. If not, then we'll close the public portion. Okay, number seven, approval of the minutes, February 18, 2025. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Bill Harris, do I have a second? Paul? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Number eight, receipts of applications. 8A, City of Derby Planning and Zoning, 1 Elizabeth Street, Derby, Connecticut Zone Text Change Application to add definition to Section 195-7. Add special exemption uses to Sections 195-15D and 195-16.D. Add Sections 195-28A, smoke shops, vape shops, chops, and tobacco stores, and reassign aquifer protection areas, Section 195-28, approved in 2010, to Section 195-29. Do I have a motion?
Do we split those up?
Mr. Chairman, you have two different definitions. Aquifer protection, and then you have the definitions for smoke and vape shops.
So
as one motion.
Brian, didn't we have to change the numbers because of
this application is to create new definitions, and we took this opportunity to reassign aquifer protection areas, which was approved in 2010. My recollection at the time was that I was just getting involved in the city to a small degree at that point, that it was approved as a standalone regulation, but it was approved by this commission and meant to be codified as Section 195-28.
Right.
So all I'm suggesting is, because cannabis was put in that spot, cannabis establishments, that be reassigned to 195-29.
So we had a double number.
It was an opportunity when we realized that codification error was present, just to apply it to the next text amendment application that came up. So that was our thought process.
My question is, would this motion be affirmative for the definition for smoke and vape shop?
This is a motion to receive the application. The public hearing will be opened the next thing on the agenda.
Fine.
Is that okay?
I make a motion. Yeah.
Okay. David, the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Bill? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. 8B, Griffin Hospital, 130 Division Street, site plan modification application for a modular building to be a permanent addition to Griffin Hospital to replace the magnetic resonance imaging or MRI trailer on Spring Street side of the hospital. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, yes. I would just like to add that this use is a site plan use, which normally does not compel the commission to have it does not require the commission to hold a public hearing.
Public hearing.
This was subject to a variance application, which was approved by ZBA. At the variance application, the ZBA suggested, or perhaps recommended, I'm not sure exactly the wording, that this site plan application be reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission as a public hearing. That was a recommendation. However, you're not compelled to by your regulations to hold a public hearing for a site plan application.
Mr. Chairman, this is Attorney Thomas. Can I address the commission briefly?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Attorney Thomas.
Ryan McElroy is correct. At the ZBA hearing, they got into a discussion of parking, and there was ended off with them suggesting or recommending to the commission that you might want to hold a the Planning and Zoning Commission might want to hold a public hearing on the site plan application. I will state for the record that it's my position that this really has, we're replacing an existing service with a in a trailer with a the same service, basically, although more technologically advanced in, with a permanent building. I don't believe there is any parking issue. However, if the commission, there is some, not urgency, but if the commission decides to hold a public hearing, then I would hope it would make the decision tonight and schedule the public hearing for the April 15th meeting, so we don't get caught in a situation where the decision to hold the public hearing is made in April and we have to wait till May for the public hearing. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Dominic. I think it'd be best for the commission to, since it is it's not mandated a public hearing, I think it would be best that that we will allow anyone from the public to come and speak on behalf of themselves or any of the neighbors in the public portion of it. But I don't see that it's necessary to have a public hearing. Obviously, everyone has been notified. We have all the receipts here. There's been no one to oppose it. There's only one residential house across the street. That neighbor is in favor of it. And I believe that neighbor came to the previous meeting in favor of it. So at the time, I think, you know, we could have whomever should come to present their opinion for or against it in the public portion.
I would also note that the ZBA variance application was in and of itself a public hearing as well.
Correct, yeah.
So Mr. Chair, we're have we received this application formally?
We're going to do that right now.
I think we receive it and then we talk about it, right?
Well, we have a motion and a second. Am I right, Karen?
We
didn't have a motion to receive it yet. That's why I
So do we have?
I'll make the motion to receive the.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Albert. Now discussion. Thank you, Bill.
Yes, I just
very good.
Trying to keep up with the rules.
Very good. I appreciate that. Dominic got me all off track there. go ahead, Bill. Do you have a comment, David?
I noticed in this application.
We're replacing a trailer with a fairly substantially sized addition to the hospital, 28 by 54, I believe, which is, I think, 1,500 square feet. The addition is going to be 1 foot or 2 feet off of the front property line. That's what the variance application was for.
Mm-hmm.
However, I didn't see any additional parking being provided to support this addition. Parking requirement for medical offices is 5 spaces for every 1,000 square feet. This addition is 1,500 square feet. I think that translates to 8 additional parking spaces. That may be the reason why the ZBA was suggesting that there be a public hearing. Everyone knows who enters Griffin Hospital, has business at Griffin Hospital, that parking is extremely tight there. This may be the time that we could flesh out some issues having to do with parking.
I believe.
I would just add that with the discussion of whether or not to discuss it under regular business at the next meeting or whether to have it under public hearing, the issues that Dave raised could be discussed under either format, just so everyone understands.
I believe at the ZBA meeting that parking was brought up, and I believe that those questions were answered. I don't believe parking had to do with the reason why it came to us.
I don't see a part of the variance.
Gino, can you hear me? Gino?
No. Who's this?
Kevin White.
Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, so at the ZBA meeting, the issue was the spot where the existing MRI is now. There is no parking there at all. It's just a trailer. So they're not losing any parking.
Well, don't they enter from inside the hospital into the trailer?
Yes.
Excuse me?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Now, the question then became, and that is the crux of their discussion, the overload of the neighborhood with many people using the facilities. Now you're going to be adding, as David Kobjanski just said, perhaps, and you're not sure, but perhaps more patients. Where are these people going to be parking? And they wanted to just kind of get an idea where all this is going, where this parking is going to be provided, where it is now. And so that's why they wanted to get that discussion going.
That's the ZBA.
But they approved it, did they?
They approved the variance. The variance application was specifically for a setback variance.
Right. Correct.
Setback variance.
Correct.
And they got approved.
Okay. That's correct. But they required that they come to the Planning and Zoning Commission for the site plan, which then would take up the parking.
And that's the requirement to come before you is because of the way your zoning regulations read. It's not the ZBA requesting that it come before this commission. They have to come before this commission. The request of ZBA was to hold a public hearing in relation to that question. That was correct. The only thing that the reason why I brought it up is because that was specifically suggested at the ZBA meeting. And I'm just trying to explain to you that it is not something that you're compelled to do. It's something that you can do at your discretion. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And the merits of the application can be discussed, whether it's a site plan application held with a public hearing or not. But the requirements are exactly the same with regard to timeline,
mm-hmm.
with regard to their requirements. It's just whether or not you want to hold a public hearing to discuss it or not. That's all.
Is there any other questions, comments?
No. That was it.
That's it?
That was Kev? It. Yeah, that was all it was.
Okay. David?
You ready for a motion?
Well, we have a motion.
That was received.
Correct. We received it. And now we're discussing it.
Discuss under regular business. Discuss under regular business. Or discuss under public.
You'd have to add it to the agenda if you're going to discuss it. This is just receiving.
Yeah, that's where we're at right now.
No. If the commission does want a public hearing, I would think that would be scheduled tonight for next month. If you want it,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Since it's just got handed to us, I suggest that we give it the next 30 days to review it, take a good look at it, and then schedule a public hearing.
Well, we don't
last week.
We don't need to schedule a public hearing if we don't want to. It's not required. We could receive it tonight as we got a motion and seconded, and then we could present come next month and make a decision on it.
Mr. Chair,
contrary to what was some of the things that were said, I don't remember who said it, but there is parking there. There are four spaces for, I believe, staff parking over there, and they're going to be eliminated.
Bad situation.
Not in that spot, Ray.
Yeah, that was the complaint from the zoning board.
That spot is down on Seymour Avenue. This is over on, Spring Street?
No, Kevin, it's right on Spring Street.
No, Kevin, it's right on Spring Street.
So the only thing that's in there is the trailer.
Well, not shown on anything I have here.
I would because this isn't on the agenda tonight as new business, I would just try to keep the discussion on the application to a minimum and just decide how we're going to approach it next month. That's all. Because the merits of the application, as Ray said, really need to be fleshed out. The only question is public hearing or no public hearing.
That's right. So let's keep it like that. Let's. We have a motion. We have a second. To receive it. No, we're still in discussion. So we have a motion to receive it. Should we vote on that motion and then decide if we want a public hearing or not? But we're going to make that decision now, though.
You can receive it and then decide how you want to proceed with the application.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion by Bill, seconded by Albert. That's correct, right? Mm-hmm. To receive it. 8B. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Now we'll discuss if we're going to have a public hearing or not. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, if we don't have a public hearing, will the public be able to speak on it?
Yeah, that's why I stated that before. As we've, this commission always want, in my opinion, we've always favored the people in town or not, the public. And, since I've been here, we've always let them speak, I don't see an issue. I if they want to come for or against it, I think that they could come, they could speak, write a letter, send a letter, we'll enter it into the record, and then they'll be more than willing to speak on it in the public portion. That's my
opinion. Chairman, isn't the procedure a little bit more formal with a proposed public, where you publicize that you're going to have a public hearing about? I mean, that's the difference between, I'm not trying to object. I'm trying to say, if you have a public hearing, it's announced a couple of weeks beforehand, it's announced a week beforehand, and you hold a public hearing.
It would be the same process as they did with the ZBA.
Which was going to be what I was going to jump in and say, is they did that. Right. They noticed all the abutters for the ZBA hearing to build a building that close to the property line. And like Gino said, our understanding of that is the only person that came out was the guy across the street and said, yeah, do it.
Yeah, he was in favor for it.
So then I'm suggesting, all I would suggest is if we have a recommendation from another commission says you should have a public hearing. I think it's worthy to debate that a little bit since our peers have said we should do it. And then the question is, okay, what would be the actual implications of that? If all of what you said is true, that even if you had the public hearing that night, the most you'd get was one speaker and you'd be able to accomplish the same thing, but you'd have a much more transparent and open, right? More formalized process where you've given the public every chance.
And Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there'd be an issue with a public hearing as long as we set the date and the time tonight so that it doesn't prolong it further out. I think that would probably be the argument of the applicant that it doesn't keep going down the road.
So I would just say this. On a site plan application, it's permitted as of right. You have 65 days to act on the application. If you want to hold a public hearing, the procedure and the timeline still are identical, so you have to act within 65 days. Is it unusual? I would say yes. It's been done before for site plan applications. It's entirely within your discretion, but there's no change in your decision-making criteria. There's no change in the application timeline required for you to make a decision. It will require notice in the paper, which is a cost. The applicant will have to notify folks within a certain distance of the property. I'd have to check the regs on that again to make sure, because they notified only abutters. They may have to notify folks within 150 feet. I'll have to verify that on the side. But there's no change in your decision-making criteria.
We have no issue with the notices. And again, I want to repeat, if you want to hold a public hearing, the applicant has no issue with that. We're just asking that it be scheduled for the April meeting. That'll give your staff a chance to review it, and I will send out whatever notices are necessary.
Okay. What's the consensus? Raul?
Yes, for a public hearing.
Okay. Raymond, you got an opinion or no?
Yeah, I think we should definitely have a public hearing, whether it's
okay.
Only because of the ZBA recommending that. Do you have a copy of the ZBA's actual approval?
Was it in the packet? No, we didn't get anything, right?
But it was said that they recommended to have a public hearing.
Yeah, and Kevin was at
the meeting. Go by their recommendation.
Yeah. I was there. They did recommend it. I haven't gotten a copy of the variance yet to record.
Okay. So should we put that in a form of a motion? Right?
Set the public hearing.
Okay. So
I'll make the motion for public hearing for
next meeting.
At the April meeting.
Yeah, I'll second that motion.
Yep.
I'll second that.
April 15th. Okay.
Oh, he presented it already.
Beat you to it.
All right. Schedule a public hearing. Okay. So the motion was by Bill.
Yes.
Second by Raymond. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Motion carries. Thank you, Don. All right. So the public hearing will be on April the 15th. Okay. Okay, 8C. Ornell Dishme, 38 Commerce Street, Derby, site plan application to operate a bottle redemption center. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion to accept the application.
Albert? Second?
No. Discussion.
I'll second it.
Okay, Bill.
Yep.
David, discussion.
I mean, I'm not sure if there's an updated plan that's associated with this application, but I'm looking at a plan for a gymnasium.
The applicant is looking to use the spot that's identified on the plan as currently, which is a gym, personal training gym, for this bottle redemption center.
So there's no plan for what he wants to, how he's going to convert it into a bottle redemption?
I believe in the information submitted that was sent out last week to the commission. There's some information on the floor plan.
David, this is all the information. There was a gym there.
I know that. Oh, that's the plan that I got, was the gym. Still looks like the gym plan to me. But the other thing is on the site plan itself, Ryan, I don't see any truck loading docks or loading area for this operation.
There's a loading dock in the front of the building existing.
It's not shown on the plan, I'm sorry, but okay, over on the side. But you have automobile parking spaces.
They're not looking to make any outdoor improvements.
What's that?
They're not looking to make any outdoor
improvements. That's the type of information that I'm looking for, Ryan. I mean, you know this, but you would never be able to discern this from this application.
This plan that he has here, whatever this one is, Dave, this site plan that we have is not even close to what's actually there right now.
Well,
it doesn't really do it. It's just
no, I know that
because it's still got the tanks in here. That retaining wall isn't there. There's no, so it's not really of what's existing right now.
So by the next meeting, that will get updated.
Well,
Well, we can certainly work with staff to instruct the applicant to update the map to reflect what's out there today. Thanks.
Oh, you're going to distribute those?
Yeah, do you want to keep it?
Thanks.
Yep. Is there any other discussion?
Should this be a consideration where you don't accept this application? I've tried to convince the applicant for about a month of some of the things that we would be looking for, and yet tonight we're still presented with something that you really can't make any decisions on.
Right. Is the applicant online? Is the applicant on Zoom? Or is there a representative for the applicant? Let me start with that.
No, generally speaking, they're not instructed to come to the first meeting because there's no, there generally isn't discussion.
Correct. Regarding. I was just asking to make sure.
I think we just let the applicant know he's got his homework cut out for him for this month.
Should we have the staff call him, work with him, and then receive the application next month? Or because we're going to be working with a timeline?
Be careful because the application's been submitted. So by statute, again, we've had this discussion before, by statute, it is received tonight. The motion to receive an application is kind of a formality.
Okay.
If you feel like there's insufficient information here, then you reject the application for lack of information, or you make a motion to receive and you let the application play out. And if they don't produce the information,
correct,
you reject it at subsequent meetings.
So the way that we've been doing it then is that we would receive it tonight. You're going to send them a letter asking them to provide X, Y, and Z for next meeting. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So why don't you just do that and be consistent. That's how we've done it for the last year. Let's be consistent again tonight.
And then the clock starts tonight anyway.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a motion by Albert, seconded by Bill. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, the motion carries, and we'll have staff reach out. And
this would be, again, this is a site plan application, so it wouldn't require a public hearing. So the normal procedure for that would just be to have it under new business next month.
If they present the information.
Yes.
This has been going on with this gentleman for over a month now.
Okay, number nine, public hearing, 9A, City of Derby Planning and Zoning, 1 Elizabeth Street, Derby, zone text change application to add definitions to section 195-7, add special exemption uses to section 195-15.D and 195-16.D, section 195-28A, smoke shops, vape shops, and tobacco stores, and reassign aquifer protection areas, section 195-28, approved in 2010, to section 195-29. Do I have a motion?
For the public hearing?
Yeah.
You're open to the public hearing?
Yep.
I'll make a motion.
I'll make a motion to open the public hearing.
Okay, Bill, second.
Second.
Raul, all in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay. Is there anyone from the public that wish to speak on 9A for public hearing?
Perhaps a brief explanation, Mr.
Sure. Chair. Go ahead, Ryan.
So this application's been under...
And we'll open it up to Zoom.
Yep. This application has been under discussion by this commission last month under informal. We modified the language to allow for a maximum of 5 vape shops, smoke shops within the city limits. As was discussed at the last meeting, we've limited to the B1 and the B2 zoning districts as special exception uses. That's section 195-15D, 195-16D. The sign requirements, which are enhanced in addition to Article 11, is included in a new regulation under Section 195-28A. And there's also criteria limiting the proximity of one vape shop to another. When I say vape shop, I mean vape shop, smoke shop, or tobacco store. So this is consistent with the discussion we had with the commission the last month. We have received reviews and referrals from NVCOG and SCROG. Both agencies found that the text amendment doesn't have any intermunicipal impacts. And lastly, the aquifer protection area regulation, again, as I mentioned during the receipt of applications, that was originally approved in 2010, and it was assigned by the commission to be 195-28. It just never got into the document as such. So what my suggestion is, because 195-28 is now occupied by cannabis establishments, that we simply reincorporate that aquifer protection areas completely as approved in 2010 as section 185-29 without any amendments or changes, just essentially reassigning the section number. Vince, do you have anything to add to that? We do have some definitions we've included.
Other than the comments that Dave and Bill shared online about how do you measure the percentage of area of an establishment that then must come under this regulation. And I'm sympathetic to that. And I think we need to clarify that the measurement is a net floor area. And that one suggestion that was made was to measure by volume. And unless Kevin White wants to work overtime on things and start measuring length by width by height, that's an unusual method of measuring the area that would then tip the scale of 20% floor area into this regulation. So I would suggest that we may want to make sure it's clear that you already have such language elsewhere in the regulation about how you measure floor area. And that appears, by the way, not to confuse the matter, but it appears in your parking regulations. And I think we can add that into, should the commission choose, into this regulation. In 195-54B paren 5, it defines that it is the net floor area, or when net, and the net floor area is, if I can pull it up here real quick, is reads as, unless otherwise specified for the purposes of determining spaces, because I'm reading from parking, floor area shall be deemed to be net floor area, shall be either 85% of the gross area, or when an actual floor plan is provided for retail establishment, shall be the floor area developed for customer use. So if that needs to be clarified so people don't take advantage of the regulation and try to skirt it, then we might want to add that into the final version that might be adopted by the commission. But other than that, I think we've captured what the commission had discussed at the prior meetings. Now we're up, we should, if not tonight, certainly in April, adopt it to fall within the moratorium that was established and we're operating under now. So anyway, I think we've heard plenty of discussion from the planners here. I think, Mr. Chairman, your commission members might want to weigh in.
Yep, I'll open it up to the commission. David?
Okay. Vince, the way that definition for vape shop and smoke shop is written doesn't talk about the floor area. Talks about the amount of product that's going to be in the establishment.
Yeah. Okay? So I think
the floor area is only one way, very inaccurate way, to determine how much product is in there. You know, as I pointed out in my email to the members, you could have a shelf 6 feet high, 10 feet long, and 1 foot deep. And that will encompass 10 square feet of an area. Yet you would have a volume of 60 square feet or 60 feet of product
yeah.
in that establishment. So I think that kind of defeats what the intent of this regulation is. The intent is we want to limit the amount of these products that are in any establishment.
Yeah.
And I don't think square footage is an accurate way to do it. I also would like to hear from the zoning enforcement officer who would be charged with the task of trying to enforce this limitation on the product. Welcome any and all advice on this.
Kevin, you got your comments?
Yeah, and again, Dave and I spoke a little bit this afternoon about this. I mean, we're trying now in this a limited amount of time that we spend to probably cut it off before it gets into a store is probably the best way to do it. And we all know that people come in and say, well, I'm going to be doing this and I'll be doing that. And 3 months later, what they told you then is not what's going on now. Who is the guy that's going to be enforcing it? How is it going to be handled administratively? And probably so the best way to do it, my opinion, would be to just never let it happen in the first place. That's the way to do it.
So that, Kevin, would take us back to the original alternative that we presented at the last meeting, saying no vape shops.
Period. That are not existing.
Obviously, because those would be non-conforming.
Correct.
So if the
They've already exceeded what we've probably already tried to establish as a bare minimum anyways.
Right. Yeah, that's probably true. So if that's going to be the commission's choice after this, then what we'll need to do is recirculate that alternative draft to say no. But that begs Dave Kopchansky's question or concern, and I'm looking at the definition, and smoke shop and vape shop are defined essentially the same way. Retail establishment where 20% or more of the retail area is dedicated to the sale of tobacco or related products, etc. So it still begs the question that local convenience store may have 10%, and when you can't do anything about it because they're not subject to this regulation.
Well, they've already existed.
Yes, but understand, if I have a corner grocery store, and I want to sell, I have a small shelf of smoke materials, I'm allowed to do that.
Correct. I don't think that this is what the commission is trying to.
No, I agree.
They're trying to get the glitzy,
right,
lighted, you know, come in and have yourself a fine afternoon, and we'll call it a day. Right. Not we're buying a package of Marlboros.
So if the commission doesn't want to have any, not even the five, then we go back to the original, the alternative draft, where 195.7 definition and word usage remain the same. And then in 195.29A, we would say smoke shop, vape shops, and tobacco stores are prohibited in the city of Derby. End of story.
Correct.
Go ahead, Dave.
Vince, do you think it would be possible or advisable to just extend the distance limitations between these shops from one another and from schools, churches, parks? And the other uses that are listed, and to eliminate the shopping center exemption.
I thought the shopping center exemption
has been eliminated.
We took that out after the last meeting.
All right, then perhaps by extending the distance limitation
you effectively.
We're going to accomplish the same thing.
Yeah. Yes, I've seen one, and it may be Stamford or Norwalk. I forget which one I've seen that had 3,000 feet. So is your zone, and I don't know the answer to this, is the zone B1 or B2 longer than 3,000 feet?
There would essentially be 3,000 feet, geez. That would essentially limit the, even at 1,500 feet, you're essentially limiting a smoke shop, vape shop, or whatever, to one in the area of New Haven Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
By Big Y, because it would also probably include Lowe's Plaza, depending mm-hmm. on the distance from door to door.
Right.
You would have the potential for a smoke shop in the area of Roosevelt Drive, just past the MDD zone by Cedric Avenue.
Yep.
Right. You would have probably one, maybe two at the 1,500-foot mark in the Division Street Pershing Drive area. Again, depending on distance door to door.
Three.
And I don't know if you might be able to squeeze one in over by the business, the B zone by, pulling up the map right now just so I'm not missing anything.
Big Lots.
So the answer to the Dave's question.
Over by Derby Milford Road, you could in theory have one there.
So if you extended it to 3,000, it effectively eliminates them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So if you're going to eliminate them by 3,000, you want to be upfront about it and say no. Milford said no. When we discussed this, I don't know, is Brian Lima on the meeting?
Yes, I'm here, Vince.
Brian, what's your gut reaction to eliminating them entirely?
Well, I think it's within our police powers to do so, if that's the will of the commission to ban them,
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Raymond.
With all that being said, I think we should just eliminate them, because how many do we have now? So if we have a half a dozen or so, and I think we do,
we got more.
They're going to still be here forever and ever if the use continues. So let's just eliminate them. They're going to be around for a long, long time. And there's no sense doing extra paperwork and all this stuff for no reason. So the ones that are there, grandfathered in, and in the future, as long as we could legally say no additional ones, so be it.
Well, I think it also, even if you decide to ban them, I think that also the definition of what this is. Well, to be considered.
As Vince had said, keep the section defining it in word usage and just, the area that it says you could have them, there is none. We can't have them.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question of Brian?
Go ahead, Vince.
If the commission goes down this path, do you agree that we would need to re-advertise, continue the hearing, or recirculate it to the to the COGS, because it would be a different regulation and much more stringent than the one we presented thus far?
I don't see any harm in doing so, but I would keep the public hearing open. But I think the intent of the even though it's more restrictive, I think the notice of the action to be considered by the commission is clear enough that mm-hmm. that could fall within the original intent of the draft. So,
I agree. Leave the public hearing group.
I mean, if you wanted to redistribute it to the COG, well, there's no harm. I don't think they have any particular interest in it, frankly. But we wanted to send them another email with the new reg.
Yeah, I would feel more comfortable doing that. I'm getting mousetrapped in another community in the northwestern part of the state about how.
Yeah, there's no, I agree with you, Vince. There's no harm. I would just suggest we keep the public hearing open and send the notice back out to the COGS and reconsider it, the new amendment to the new regulation at the next meeting.
Go ahead, Dave.
Still begs the question, what are we going to do with the 20%? Do we just eliminate that? If anybody sells any vape products or tobacco products, they're in violation?
Dave, I believe that's only for a smoke shop.
No, that translates right down to vape shop as well. We use the same definition.
Right, but not any existing convenience stores and things like that that you outlined earlier.
Leave it with the 20%?
It's 20%.
That's the whole point of what I brought up, that how are you going to enforce that?
I would just leave it. It's just making it more strict. Whether it's enforced or not doesn't matter. But it's there if needed.
So if there were a question, zoning enforcement officer takes his tape measure out and says, makes the determination that we've got a 2,000 square foot building and the guy's got 400 square foot devoted to selling this stuff. He makes a determination as to whether it falls within or without.
If needed, correct.
Right.
Wonder how Kevin likes that.
So if there's an existing establishment now.
Can't do anything.
It stays.
Even with the 20%, right?
Yeah.
No, they're allowed to have more than 20%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this would be.
This would essentially inform someone who's looking to open, say, a convenience store or a gas station where there might not be one today, just for example.
Okay.
As to what percentage of their retail use they might be able to devote
just to vape.
These products.
Okay, understood.
So they would not be considered a smoke shop.
That's right.
If they had 10% or anything behind the counter. They would not be considered a vape shop if they had things just behind the counter, let's say. So they wouldn't be banned. Now, that doesn't, as everyone said, it doesn't impact someone that's there today,
no,
operating today, but the second they leave the store and a new tenant comes in that's an otherwise permitted use, that they lose that historic non-conforming status.
Okay, so any other questions from the committee? So we're going to kind of regroup. We'll send out the the new directions to the COG, get their opinion on it. And I need a motion to continue the hearing. I'm sorry? Oh, you're right, yes. If there's anyone from the public that wish to speak on 9A for the public hearing, your mics are unmuted and you can just speak. Is there anyone from the public that wish to speak for the public hearing? You can unmute your microphone yourself and you'll be able to speak. Are there people on there, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. If there's anyone on Zoom that wishes to speak underneath 9A public hearing, you could unmute your mic and speak now. Last and final time. Anyone from the public wish to speak? Okay. So can I get a motion from the commission to continue the public hearing to next month?
So moved.
Paul? Second?
Second.
Raul? All in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay, so we'll continue the public hearing and we'll get NVCOG on it, and Brian, you guys will work that all out, right?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, 10A, new business. City of Derby Planning and Zoning, 1 Elizabeth Street, Derby, Connecticut. Zone text change application to add definitions to section 195-7, add special exemption uses to section 195-15.D and 195-16.D, add sections 195-28A, smoke shops, vape shops, tobacco stores, and reassign aquifer protection areas section 195-28 approved in 2010 to section 195-29 discussion and possible action.
So that'll just go over.
Yeah. Do we need a motion? No, right? Okay. Moving to 10B, Summit Hill LLC, Summit Street Assessor's Map 9-6, lots 47 and 47B, and Mountain Street Assessor's Map 8-9, lots 94 and 94B subdivision application to construct 45, 1, and 2 family residential dwellings. Application has been withdrawn. Yep. And now we'll move on to number 11, informal discussion. 11A, Planning and Zoning Subcommittee Report on Application Procedures. Bill?
We did call it a draft copy, site plan application. We're going to get it. Kevin has a copy. We need his input. Once we have his input, we're going to send it out to the rest of the commission for their input. The initial feedback from the committee is that
this is a much better document than we have today. Should improve the quality and of the documentation that's submitted to be reviewed. Should be a better guide for the applicant themselves to know what they have to do. I'm going to call this 85% complete. And a lot of credit's got to go to Al on this. He spent a lot of time putting it all together and going through and crafting the document. So we're quite pleased with that. And even better is that now the special application app is going to be looked at next. Special exception application is going to be looked at next. And I'm informed by the subcommittee that this is going to be just require a couple of amendments to the document we just created. So hopefully we'll have that one ready for folks to start reviewing in the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to look at amendments, zoning amendments for uses and map changes is the next document to start revising. So I think we're making great progress moving along. This is not an easy assignment, but things are coming together quite well. I'll also point out that the next step that derives from this is going to be some process discussions. So how these documents, once they're created, how they move through the sequence of events that's required to get them processed and procedurally, right, administratively and efficiently, as well as meeting all the statutory requirements. So that'll be the next activity that's going to follow immediately after this. So once you have this new document, okay, what do you do with it? How does it move along? And what are the gates that it has to go through? And then the other thing that we're going to be strongly suggesting is that these documents are being revised and created with the idea that they can go into an online system. And so be something that you can create an electronic database for, and you can associate all the documentation. You'll have a history that goes along with it. If you need to go back and look at it again, it'll be readily accessible. Such a system exists for the permitting process. You'd envision something like that for the application process as well, and maybe marries to the permit, because once the applications are approved, then permits follow immediately after that. And then I'm certain other things would be tied to it. So that's kind of where we stand. Still making good progress. And should have something concrete to present to the commission. I'm hoping next meeting we'll have a document that Kevin likes. We can put it in front of you.
Great. I think, we all knew that it wasn't going to be an in and out thing. So I know you guys are working hard on it. David, do you have anything else to add, or Paul?
I think it's progressing nicely, though. I'm anxious to get input from our zoning enforcement officer, since he's going to be burdened with the task of being the traffic cop on this.
I think it's going to make his job a little bit easier as well. I think it's a two-way street on this. So we're looking forward to see it. I think you guys are doing a good job. Any other discussion on that? If not, we'll move on to 11B, downtown design discussion. Raymond?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Not quite sure where we left off last month, but we had Ryan, did you take a look at any of this, or where do we?
I mean, other than scanning and sending it out to everybody, I didn't look thoroughly through it. Now, I guess if the commission wants us to really investigate this and prepare different options, it's something we can look into. But beyond that, I guess looking for more input from the commission as to what, if anything, you guys want to pursue.
I think that I know that we had discussed it previously in past years and whatnot, but there has been a start of one. There might be something out there. They did it years ago. I think what we should do is get the parties to be, gather whatever documentation, whatever renderings we had, whatever designs we had from the past, whatever we have from the past, gather those documents and let's see what we have there. Because I'm going to tell you what happened on another project that we had in town with the Sterling Opera House. We had things that were done in the past and no one really knew about what was done in the past. I went and I started digging through it, doing some research. I went downstairs in the basement, and by the grace of God, I walked in and there was a full set of prints that were all rolled up right next to the door that nobody's ever seen before. And as I went back into research, it started out with Mark and then Tony, so forth and so on. And actually the city was doing what they were supposed to be doing in little tiny steps, but no one knew what it was. So we had the whole inside design up to date with the raw set of prints that nobody knew about. So in my opinion, we know that there was charrettes before. I think, almost every administration, probably going back to Mark, has done something. Okay, even before, that was before I was a kid then. But, let's gather whatever we can gather from whomever we need to gather it from, even if we have to go in the archives downstairs, and let's gather all that information so that we could say, man, this works, this doesn't work, let's get rid of this, and then we could move forward. Because if I knew the stuff I knew now, before when I started that project, we would have went probably in a different direction. That's just my experience in working with a few other things, and I just wanted to throw that out there so that we don't kind of do things twice, three, and four, five times. Any other discussion? Raymond, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say to the rest of the commission, if anybody, go out, do a little research, go online. And, what I put in front of you is last month probably wasn't totally applicable to Derby, but it's just a start. So
I just want to add, Raymond, that those charrettes that you're talking about, which were done over a couple different administrations, were sponsored by Yale School of Architecture. And Yale architectural graduate students were instrumental in those designs. And they had many, many designs, all pertaining to Main Street. I don't know what happened, if those records still exist somewhere in the city. But I would imagine that the Yale School of Architecture may have retained some of that, some of those plans and information, and it might be productive to contact them. Another person who was involved in the charrettes, and I know he's still in business, is the architect Joe McGanney.
Oh yeah, Mr. McGanney, yeah,
and his wife.
That's right.
Ms. Reardon.
I would imagine he has plans and records of that, probably on a disk somewhere. May not have paper copies anymore. But I think, again, it could be productive to contact him. And Joe's a friend of the city.
Mm-hmm.
He
I went to school with Mike.
He's done a lot. Yeah.
I could reach out to him and see what he has.
I'm sure getting the DPZ plan for downtown now from 2017 should be fairly straightforward to get electronically. I don't know, Mark, if you... you know where that might, is that located on the city website? The DPZ plan from 2017 for downtown now, their planning document. Huh.
Any other discussion? So what's the pleasure, Raymond? What are you thinking?
I just think we're getting the ball rolling. The conversation is good. Like I started to say, if anybody wants to do a little research, I'll do some here. I'll follow up with Mark and see if we could dig some of that stuff up. And if anybody else has anything to bring in.
So what I'll do is I'll speak with Lisa, too. And downstairs in the archives where a lot of the prints are, especially for the Sterling. I mean, inside there is all the Home Depot plans, the Lowe's plans. You name it is down there. A lot of people don't know what they're looking for, but I'll get with Lisa, as I did with the mayor secretary, Pam, at the time for the Sterling Opera House. I'll get with Lisa and go down there and get whatever we have on record from the past. There's probably booklets just like this, binders of it all together. And I'll get that between now and next month pulled together. We'll get it scanned in. And we'll pull whatever we got up there. At least that'll be one part of the puzzle. And then we can go from there.
Not sure if I have the final version, but I did find the DPZ, a DPZ document on the city website. So I'll forward this link to everyone right now.
What year does it say there?
2017. But in this document, I mean, there's a lot in there. Okay. But they do have some... I believe, I haven't read this in years, but that there might be some recommendations for architectural standards.
Okay. Yes.
There's also the economic development director, too. There's a bunch of stuff up here that they...
Oh, okay.
There's probably information there, too.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, any other discussion on 11B? Good. All right. If no more discussion, we'll move to 12, payment of bills. Can I have a motion to pay bills if deemed correct?
I don't have any this month.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
You didn't have it?
So this should be a short vote. No.
Okay.
No, we don't have any percent. I'm sorry.
So
motion to adjourn.
Yeah, so we'll move on to number 13, motion to adjourn. Raymond, second.
So moved.
All in favor? Okay, 8:22. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next month.